up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Not the game that they thought when they booked it, right? John Gruden going up against Jimmy Garoppolo and an upcoming San Francisco team and Derek Carr, right? It was all supposed to be, hey, this is be a cool primetime game when you're doing the beginning of the season. This is what this is, you know, this has got a lot of potential. Well, it didn't lead out to that in terms of the record, right? But if you had it on, maybe you had it on because it was the background noise. Maybe you're doing something else, or maybe you had money on it and you wanted to sit and watch it. You end up watching this kid, Nick Mullins, who comes out of Southern Miss, and he puts on this historic performance that now has everybody today kind of glowing with what he was able to do against probably one of the worst defenses you'll see. But nevertheless, it's Nick Mullins' night. Now, Nick Mullins went to Southern Miss, and so did Brett Favre. So Brett Favre naturally, you know, gives him praise and gives him a phone call. And Mullins was emotional at the end of the game because he had been working his way up to get to this moment and play in the NFL, and he got the chance to start. And when you have a chance to start, whenever that is, you have to be ready. And he said, I was ready. I was always ready. I prepare for any moment that I could play, and he plays. And he was really, really good. 260 plus, three touchdowns, no picks, didn't get sacked, like 16 of 22 passing, one of the highest quarterback ratings for a rookie ever, or whatever it was. It was a historic night for him. So this game, which had really nothing on paper going into it, really just becoming a, just watch it because it's football and really, what else are you going to watch? Becomes one of those games that people can say, if this kid proves out to be an NFL star or he goes on to have a really good career, that this was the start. Is it likely that he'll have an NFL career as good as we think or is indicated last night? Probably not. If you were a betting guy, I wouldn't go in that direction. I've seen this play out before, maybe not this historic and not this good, but we've seen this kind of storyline before. Young guy gets a chance, young guy impresses, young guy gets starts, young guy gets big contract, young guy never gets heard from again. But on the flip side, and we'll get to more of Nick Mullins' night last night because there were some numbers that are pretty good. But on the flip side, it's about the Raiders and John Gruden and how this team that went from, we could put you on primetime television to, we don't even want to see you on TV. We'll talk about that next SB Nation AM.
Gifting Map is your map for great gifts. Head over to giftingmap.com today. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Ron out today. We've got Shay in studio as we cruise along on a Friday. We'll have our picks, the games that you should watch and not watch. Now, this is a game, this is a half a star game from last night. San Francisco and Oakland, both teams abysmal. Both teams were 1-7 going into the games. But it turned out to be a historic night for Nick Mullins. Now, I read this article at The Ringer today that was talking about Nick Mullins' night. They put some numbers together. And they said, if anybody says they knew who Nick Mullins was before last night, they either are a Southern Miss fan or a liar. I knew who Nick Mullins was, but the only reason I knew who Nick Mullins was is because in the age of social media, when you have friends on Facebook that brag about their teams or brag about players on their school. I have such an individual in my life. He is a Southern Miss grad and he always comments on Southern Miss sports. That's one of the only things he comments on is Southern Miss sports. I don't know anything about his life. I don't know anything about his wife and kids. I don't know about his job. He never writes anything like, I'm broke this weekend. I got to go make some more money. He never writes anything like that. One of the things he only puts up is everything about Southern Miss. So Nick Mullins, Nick Mullins, Nick Mullins. So when yesterday Ron and I were talking about the fact that C.J. Beathard was dealing with an injury, and then we were looking up who could possibly start for the 49ers, and I saw Nick Mullins, and we're like, oh, that's the Southern Miss kid, because my friend, that's all he talked about when he was with the Golden Eagles. Apparently he like broke Brett Favre's records and things like that. Outside of that, I'm be honest with you. I think Southern Miss is on my television only if they make a bowl game, and I'm a guy that puts the bowl games on my TV, and sometimes I watch them, sometimes I don't watch them, sometimes they're just on, just to be on, in case something really cool happens. But that's probably the only time I've seen Nick Mullins in college is if they played in a bowl game. And I'm going to be honest with you, I have no idea if they've played in a bowl game. So I can't even guarantee that at some point, except for last night, he had been on my television at any point of his college career. That is the essence of what makes this story great. Because I, who do this for a living, had no idea who he was and never saw him play. What does that mean for you, who probably never even heard of him until last night? Probably didn't even know he went to Southern Miss until they told you he went to Southern Miss, and probably had to look up where Southern Miss actually was, or maybe even needed to be reminded that Brett Favre one time played there. Like, that's what makes Nick Mullins in his performance even better. He wasn't out of Miami. He wasn't out of USC. This wasn't a high-profile guy. He's an undrafted quarterback, comes from a team from Conference USA. He comes from a school many of you don't watch or follow or care about. And yet, he comes in and wins a game in that fashion, right? Three touchdown passes, 260-plus yards. He has a quarterback rating of 151. He doesn't throw an interception. He doesn't get sacked. And listen, albeit he's playing against a Raider defense that is terrible, but if you're a San Francisco 49er fan, I don't know what this means. I don't know where this goes. I don't know what this kid is going to be like when he plays tougher competition. I have no idea. But don't worry about that. Enjoy this for what it was. This was a historic debut in a lousy football game. Now, let's say he did this against the Patriots, right? I think, obviously, it would be probably 10, if not 20 times more of the crazy hype that you'd have to have today. It went up against a Raider team that's bad and bad on both sides of the football. But he is getting the kind of love and run today that he deserves. This is a hard position to play. This is why there's only about 15, maybe 17 guys right now who do it well consistently enough that if your team had one of those guys, you wouldn't even think about your backup quarterback. You probably wouldn't even know who your backup quarterback is. This is a really impossible position to play given the amount of population in the world and how many people who can do it well. So the fact that one night this rookie kid from Southern Miss who went undrafted put up these kind of numbers against professional football players is remarkable. And listen, I can say all I want about the Raiders' defense. Schematically, they're bad, but they do have athletes, and they do have the best athletes in the world on the other side of the ball, and they have athletes who are paid to do this, and anytime you get paid to do this in the equation, that means you're good at it. If somebody's willing to give you money to do anything, it means you're good at it. Now, we do this sort of subjective thing where Nathan Peterman is a terrible quarterback, and he absolutely is. But the reality of it is, because he gets paid to do it, he's one of the best people in the world to do it. But he's not one of the best people in the class of people who do it that's currently doing it now. That's the distinction. Is he, you know, there was a writer who once wrote about, and he did a great little profile piece about the 12th guy on, I think, the New Orleans Hornets at the time. It was years ago. And he did a profile piece on this guy. And he basically pointed out that here was this individual who never plays basketball in the NBA. Never plays. He might average a minute and a half per game, right? And he doesn't average any points. He has like 0.4 points per game. And yet, here's a guy who sits on the end of the bench as the last guy, the least played guy on the New Orleans Hornets in like the early 2000s or whatever it was. And he has nothing in common with you, me, or anybody else. He has a bigger bank account. He's taller. He's more famous. I mean, he has nothing in common with us, even though we relate to him more than we would, let's say, an Anthony Davis. That's the difference that we make. When we talk about quarterbacks like Nathan Peterman, he stinks. Why? Because against everybody else, he stinks. But he's on that level of one of the best in the world because somebody's willing to pay him money to do it. Nick Mullins went up against a bad, bad, bad Oakland Raiders defense. The reality of it is he did go up against athletes who are paid to play defensive football in the NFL, and they are the best at it in the world. They're just not as good at it as other people who are getting paid. So let's don't put Nick Mullins' performance in some sort of context of, well, I mean, he played against Oakland. We can talk about it because he didn't play against Baltimore. He didn't play against other defenses that are really, really good against the pass. He didn't play against defensive backs who are all pro, but he did go against a defense in the Oakland Raiders that are filled with athletes who could probably play for a lot of other teams in the league. And he's never played that position before in a game in the National Football League. That's why it's special. I wouldn't dismiss his performance because it was against the Raiders. I would say, look, I have no idea where it's going to go in terms of a future in this league, right? I don't know if he busts out. I don't know if we never hear from him again in 2 years. I don't know if he's where are they now or if he becomes an all-pro or becomes the next Tom Brady. I have no clue. But I know this. It was historic enough to make last night's game really, really interesting. He threw some balls that were through the eye of a needle. I mean, he threw some balls that were as pinpoint accurate as you're going to see in this league. And he had the poise and sort of the wherewithal to get guys, you know, waited for open moments, throwing really good passes, patient at the line of scrimmage. He did a great job last night. And I think the preparation that he had as a rookie and the fact that he knew the offense really well. Kyle Shanahan, I don't know if he threw Jimmy Garoppolo under the bus or not, but the guys on the broadcast said that Kyle Shanahan said that he knows, Nick Mullen, knows the offense better than anybody on the roster. And he's got Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster. They paid him a boatload of money to be the starting quarterback for the 49ers. He better know the offense more than this kid. But when you get these positions where you're undrafted and you know that maybe, just maybe, this might be your last chance. If you get cut from the Niners, are you going to get picked up somewhere else? I mean, you're undrafted. Would you land somewhere else? Would you get a practice squad job? Are you going to have to sell insurance until your agent calls you again? Did anybody even see you on the 49ers enough to give you a chance? Those are the things that go through your head when you're Nick Mullens. And count that to just about everybody who's been in that similar position. And yet, that's why he was emotional at the end of the game last night when Aaron Andrews was talking to him. You'd be too. If you realize you put up, you had this kind of performance, don't get me wrong, it's not a one shot. I mean, he would have gotten another shot. C.J. Beathard, if he had played, he probably would have gotten more hurt. He would have gotten a shot next week. And if Kyle Shanahan likes him that much, he would have stuck around. But nevertheless, he's now put himself on this national stage. This big national stage, because a game that's unwatchable from a record standpoint and just a quality of football standard turned into a really historic game last night. And this is a continuing trend with the NFL this season. Some of these primetime games don't give you anything in terms of value. It doesn't give you worth your time. Some of them have. I mean, some of them, we've had some great primetime games. They produce some really good games, some really exciting games, some really fun games that have turned into some really exciting moments in the league. And I think this is going to be one of them. I hope this kid makes it. I hope, because he seems humble and he seems like he's doing it the right way. And I don't know, we kind of have a heart, a soft spot for underdog stories. You know, the undrafted kid is, you know, we've gone through that a million times. But for one night anyway, wherever this kid goes, for one night anyway, he made a Thursday night dog look really, really enjoyable. All right, when we come back, John Gruden, who said that many people want to play for the Raiders, and many people are calling him out on this, but I'll tell you on one side why he is right. That is next. I am Tony D. This is SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad to join us on a Friday morning as we head into another good week of college football and another good week of the NFL. There's some really good games coming up. We'll give you our value picks coming up, meaning the games you should watch and the games you kind of, it is okay if you ignore. O'Reilly Auto Parts is proud to offer a military discount for those who have served our country. If you are an active or retired member of the military or a veteran, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store and receive your discount every day as our way of saying thank you for your service. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so we're talking about Nick Mullens and his historic night, 49ers quarterback, undrafted, does great things in a 34-3 win over Oakland, and Oakland falls to a miserable 1-8 on the season, or whatever they were, 1-7, I think now, because they were 1-6 going in, so they're 1-7. So Oakland is just, it's a bad team, right? And now John Gruden's getting a lot of heat for this. And relatively, you know, rightfully so. His first year, he was supposed to do some good things. It wasn't supposed to look this bad. Khalil Mack trade was dumb, right? He's unloading players. All right, so John Gruden then said that players no doubt want to play for the Raiders. A lot of players want to play for the Raiders, okay? He said, quote, "I see players after every game we play, and they want to be Raiders. That's been the case my whole life. And I think the brand of the Raiders is an exciting one. And I think a lot of players, no doubt, do want to play for us in the future. And I'm not going to speculate any further on that." Okay. When you make political arguments sometimes, there's always one side. It doesn't matter right or left, conservative or liberal. It doesn't matter. There's always one side that goes to the one example that makes the point. So, like, for example, if you say, a household is better if there's a mother and a father in the household, right? If you say the kids grow up better if there's a mom and dad in the household. And then the other side says, oh, I know this woman. She's a single mom, and she worked three jobs, and her son became a lawyer, right? That's used taking an example and making it the case for the whole point, right? Because they found one person. They found one person that goes against what you say, or is the example, the alternate example of what your point is. And then they say, see, your point is invalid because I found an example where that doesn't take the case. That's what this sounds like to me. A couple of people that like John Gruden, that maybe guys that don't currently like their coach or don't currently like their playing situation, don't currently like the city that they're in, want to play for Oakland / Las Vegas. Who wouldn't want to play for Oakland / Las Vegas? All right, so I guarantee you that this is accurate to some extent. Now, people are saying, oh, John Gruden is full of crap. He's lying. I don't think he's lying here. I think he does have people that come up to him that say they want to play for Oakland, that do want to play for this franchise, because it's moving to Las Vegas in 2020, because it's going to be in one of the more exciting cities in America. And I think he's right to an extent. I think it's the brand. But here's the other thing about what he's saying. Think about the league that he's in and why that this would have some truth, but maybe not as much truth as he'd like you to believe. It has truth in it because guys in the NFL don't have security. Most guys are playing on deals they know can be cut off in a snap of a finger. And maybe they look at the tea leaves in their own situation on their own team and say, you know what? I'm a good player, but here we have too many safeties. Or here we have a kind of a run on corners. Or you know what? I'm a linebacker trying to fit into a system. It's not really the system I like to play. That happens so much, it's silly. You ever wonder why guys will leave 14-2 football teams in free agency outside of the money? Because they know that if they get to certain other teams, they'll be able to be utilized in the way they want to be utilized, where they can make even more money, right? I have no doubt guys have told John Gruden they want to play for the Raiders, because when the Raiders are bad, think about the mindset of a player too. When you're at that upper level, well, I don't care what league you're in, when you're in that upper level, if you don't think you're a game-changing kind of player, I don't know how you got to that level in the first place. Like, there's very, very few professional athletes that don't believe that they can add to any situation, right? And imagine a player who's playing for Green Bay, right, on the defensive side of the ball, right? And let's say Green Bay runs a typical defensive system that doesn't fit what you do. And you know, like, man, you know, I love the fact that I have Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, and I love the fact that the fan base is rabid and crazy. But you know what? I'm not being utilized to a point where I can make some money. I'm not being utilized where my skills can be showcased. I'd like to go where my skills can be showcased. And you know what? John Gruden runs a system that seems to fit what I do. They don't look at it and say, well, why would I join a 1-7 NFL football team that stinks? They're looking at it as, I just like to join an NFL team where I can utilize my skills to a point where I can maximize my value. People are looking at this the wrong way. People are looking at it as nobody wants to play in Oakland because they stink. Everybody would want to play for Oakland if it meant more money and an opportunity to make more money. They don't care about the record. They care about the financial aspect of this, and they believe they can change the course of where that team is going. If I join it and some other players join, we can go from 1-7 at this time to 4-4, or we can go to 5-3, or we can go to 6-2. And that can happen in the NFL so fast, it's crazy. Major League Baseball, maybe not so much. If you're looking to win, I doubt you'd sign a free agent deal with Kansas City. No offense, Kansas City, but you kind of know where you are. If you're looking to win, you tend to join teams that are built to win, that have pieces to win. But in the NFL, everybody gets the same sort of starting block. Everybody gets the same tools to work with. And you can go from a lousy team in the NFL to making the playoffs very quickly. It's something I need to reiterate because a lot of people forget this point. A lot of people forget this point. And it was something I was talking about in the last segment when it came to Nick Mullins' performance against paid professional athletes, despite the fact that Oakland is a bad defense. That if you talk to any coach on that level in the NFL, they'll all tell you the same thing in terms of where teams are talent-wise. The difference between the Super Bowl champion and the team that is picking first in the draft is very, very, very slim. The difference in terms of talent is very slim. It usually comes down to matchups, coaching, schedule, luck, and injuries. It rarely comes down to we have terrible football players that don't deserve to be in this league. Where you find that is usually at the minor league, we just started a football league, aren't we great kind of level. I worked in minor league sports for a while, and I had so much fun in it, but sometimes you'd see guys and you're like, there's no reason, it was mostly basketball, there's no reason you should be playing professional basketball at all. But, you know, it is what it is. In the NFL, it usually comes down to the way the coaches use that talent matches how your team is injured, how your team is hurt, and the fact that you're trying to do some philosophy and you don't have the players to fit that philosophy, and it's just, it's a mismatch problem and you got to fix it and you got to bring in some other personnel. But rarely is, do like the New England Patriots playing the Buffalo Bills, has it to do with the fact that the Patriots have elite players and the Bills just have scrap heaps of just awful talent, Nathan Peterman excluded. Usually the guys on the Bills could be good players any other place. That's why I believe John Gruden here. As much as I don't want to believe John Gruden, it'd be fun to make fun of him for this comment like other people have. I'm going in the opposite direction. I can tell you, I think he's telling the truth. I think people are coming to him and saying, I want to play. But the people that are coming to him are doing it for not reasons that he likes to think. Like when he thinks that there's just a wave of people that want to play, the wave of people are people who are looking at the Raiders for financial advancement, career advancement, ability to maximize who they are as a player, not necessarily because Gruden is changing some culture and everybody wants to be a part of it. This is not John Gruden's party, you know. There's only a select few that get invited and everybody wants in. That's not the way I'm viewing this, and that's not the way he should be portraying this. Take any coach in the league, they probably could make that same quote that Gruden made. Dying to play for the Raiders, dying to play for Buffalo, dying to play for Jacksonville, dying to play for the Steelers, dying to play for the Browns, dying to play for the Titans. Name them. I guarantee you there's a group of NFL players that would love to go to that city because they're not being utilized the way they want at their particular place. And there are a bunch of them. A bunch. So as much as I'd love to rip Gruden because it's fun to rip because he's making a lot of money and his team's terrible, in the reality of it is he's probably telling the truth here. I know. But one other factor about this, and this has been pointed out, If I'm John Gruden and I'm his agent, I would pull him aside and say, I wouldn't talk about this. I would not say anything about this because you are really walking on a thin ice. You're not supposed to be talking about players who are coming to you and talking to you about playing for you. That may happen, and it probably does happen, but you're not publicly supposed to talk about that. So stay out of it. We don't want to get into tampering. We don't want to go down that crazy, crazy road. So keep your mouth shut about all these players that want to play for you, and you better not mention any names or we're going to be in big trouble. But here's the other thing. He could be in trouble already because he is saying that people are coming up to him at the end of games, and right now there's only been, well, I have to check the schedule, see if they've played anybody twice yet from their division. I don't think they have. There's only been 8 teams that they've played. So you better be careful because you can narrow that down very, very quickly. 800-777-2907. But what Nate Mullins started yesterday actually means for something.
Guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, as we roll in on a Friday. I like that song. That reminds me, that used to get played in my the team's warm-ups for the Tampa Bay Thunderdogs, a team I was involved in back in the early 2000s.
Who doesn't like Outkast? Come on.
I know. Every time I hear that, I think of my our not very good minor league basketball team playing in warm-ups and that we were probably going to lose by double digits, which we usually did. Our coach, though, was for a brief period of time, Thunderdogs, our coach was former NBA star Daryl Dawkins, who passed away a couple of years ago. But we became really good friends with him. And my wife ran the office, and he really loved my wife because she kept everything organized for him. He was a very disorganized guy, and she kept everything organized, all of his itineraries, everything he needed to do, all of his speaking things, organized. And I remember we met him, we got to know him really well, and he was coaching in a summer league, and they came back to Florida, and we went to go see him. Our son had just been born, and he was only a couple months old, and we went to go see him, and he was at the end of the game, he was surrounded by a bunch of people that wanted his autograph and a picture and whatnot, and he saw my wife, and he parted everybody to go give her a hug, and we have a picture of him holding my son, and it's literally like him holding a bag of Morton salt, like it's just my little tiny child in his gigantic hands. It was probably one of the more pleasant memories of minor league basketball, because there's not much, because every time you work in minor league sports, and it's fun, it's really fun. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I met some really awesome people. But let me just put it to you this way. Every time you get paid, you'd run to the bank to cash the check, because if you waited, it wasn't going to clear and you probably weren't going to get your money. But it was really, really fun. We had such a good time doing that. So I am actually going today. I have to drive to Jackson, Tennessee to a football game, a high school playoff football game. It is a 2.5 hour drive, and I got to do a 2.5 hour drive back. This is the longest I think I've ever driven for one thing, like in one day. I'm leaving at 3 o'clock. I'll go call a game with two running football teams, like two kind of option football teams, which means game will last 10 minutes because the clock won't stop running. And then I'll be in the car and I'll drive 2.5 hours back. This will be like driving 2.5 hours to see a movie. Like, would you do that? Like, what kind of movies do you like? Like, do you like Star Wars or Avengers or anything like that?
I don't know if there's any movie I would drive that far for.
Okay, well, let's say this movie is only being played 2.5 hours from your house. It's not coming anywhere near you. And you're not going to get it on Blu-ray or whatever for years. And you have to see this. Would you drive 2.5 hours to see it?
I mean, the scenario you made was
for
not
just a
realistic.
Movie and then get out and drive back.
I don't know if I would.
You're not staying in a hotel.
I would have to be like so devoted. It would have to be. Maybe back in the day, I might have been something. I might have been into something like that. But I don't know. Like nowadays, it's like it seems like a very far.
I know.
I mean, I've driven far.
I'm saying I've
driven that far for a football game before. I guess. So I guess maybe, but I mean, that's kind of an all day thing, though. Like I've driven
now.
Like, okay, I'll just give you an example. So before I moved to Houston, I went to a football game in Oklahoma. Ohio State was playing Oklahoma. This was 2 years ago. I drove 3 hours the day before to Dallas, then 3 hours to Dallas to Oklahoma because I stayed with a friend in Dallas and had to stay in a hotel. But that was like an all-day tailgate. Exactly.
You did it over 2 days. Like, if I was staying at a hotel tonight, this is not an issue.
Exactly.
What is the issue is driving the 2 hours, the 2 hour football game, because again, this is going to be a really quick football game. These two teams, they don't pass. Like, I think they have the team I cover has two passing touchdowns all year. That's it. They run. That's all they do is run. They run right up the middle. They're an option team. The other team is the same thing. So this clock is never going to stop. Like, it's just going to keep on ticking. And so the game's going to be really fast. And then we're going to get in the car and we're going to drive 2.5 hours back. I'm going to drive 2.5 hours back home. And now here's the thing though, right? So I'm okay with this, but you know you're going on a trip when your wife is putting together a goodie bag for your road trip. Like, she's going to the store to load up on drinks and snacks for the road trip. I'm like, I'm going to do a football game and I'm coming right back. I'm going to have snacks to eat because the ride is going to be forever. I just forever. So that's what I have to do today. I'm going to get home at like 2 o'clock in the morning. This is going to be awful. Maybe not, because it's going to be a quick game. So it starts at 7. It'll be over by 9-ish. Now I'll get out by 9:30. I should be back by 12.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Midnight, a little after midnight, so I should be all right. It's just 5 hours on the road. I'm not a big road trip guy.
So you don't like driving long distances or anything like that? Not a big road trip guy?
I'm okay with it. Here's the deal. I only fly because it's the fastest way to get from point A to point B, right? I'm not a huge flyer. I don't really dig flying. I don't like the whole process of it. So I'm not a huge fan, but I do it. I don't fear flying. I'm not afraid of turbulence. I don't like the security. I don't like sitting on tarmac. I don't like sitting next to strangers. I don't like the cramped seating. And I don't like the ability, like when I'm on the road, I like the ability to stop whenever I want, stretch my legs, get something to eat, whatever. And you're on a plane, it's like, you're kind of in a tube for hours and hours and hours. So I tend to drive. Like our family, we just tend to drive wherever we go. But I don't like driving 8 hours. Like I'm not a big get behind the wheel and drive. So every now and then we go on trips and I have to do it. But we'll see. We'll see how this goes. So that should be interesting tonight. All right. So we were talking about I already forgot his name. Nick Mullins last night. Boy, see how quick that was? I mean, last night nobody could stop talking about him, and I already forgot. Couldn't catch his first name. We ought to talk about Nick Mullins last night playing against a Oakland defense that really, you know, didn't play much. I mean, didn't play hard, didn't play competitively. But Mullins still had a fantastic game. He threw that one touchdown. I think it was like a 52-yard score or something like that. It was probably about 40 yards. The guy was wide open. He was like coming in. It was like Oakland completely forgot about him, and he was wide open heading towards the sideline, and he just caught a pass and ran it in for an easy touchdown. That's an easy catch and throw. But he threw some passes that were through the eye of a needle. I mean, they were fantastic. But, and I'm going to throw this out there. I'll probably get elaborated on a little bit more. But if you're the 49ers, you can't get caught up in this, can you? I mean, listen, your guy, the guy you put a bunch of money in, is Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I saw on Twitter, because Twitter's a crazy land of the crazy, they already started to calculate how much financially it would be to the 49ers to get rid of Garoppolo. That's crazy talk. Okay, let's calm all of that down. Because haven't we seen this before? Haven't we seen this go down before, where a guy has a really good game, where nobody knows who he is, where nobody knows anything about him? He puts in the work, he puts in the effort, he makes most of the opportunity, but then he regresses. Slow everything down. This is the problem we have in sports, is we want more of the story, right? We can't just put it in a box and call it, look at this, from start to finish, this was great, right? One of the reasons about what's good about Rudy is, not the movie per se, because Rudy's a movie packed with lies, but the actual story of Rudy Rudiker is that it had a beginning and then it had an end. And the end was him being carried off the field. And that was it. Rudy didn't play in the NFL. He didn't play another down for Notre Dame. Nothing. It began with this guy who was like, man, I want to play football at Notre Dame and I got to do this. And I'm in my, Rudy was an older guy. Like, he wasn't a kid out of college. I mean, it took him a while. He was like 28 or something like that. But anyway, he went through this journey. He worked really hard. He convinced coaches that he deserved a spot as on the practice squad. He earned a spot by starting in his senior year. He got a chance to play. He had a quarterback sack. They carried him off the field. Boom. End. That's it. Done. And the story gets wrapped up neat. Okay? Nick Mullins, the story is, nobody knows who I am. I'm at Southern Miss. I went to the same school as Brett Favre. I'm breaking some of his records. Nobody seems to care. I'm an undrafted guy that goes to plays for the 49ers. Again, nobody knows my name. I get an opportunity to start because not one, but two quarterbacks go down, and I'm playing on his Thursday night game against Oakland in front of the entire nation. Boom! I throw three touchdowns. Here's my arc. Okay? That's his career arc. Now, where does he go from here? Does he head to the stratosphere where the 49ers keep him around, or, you know, he ends up becoming their starter and their star, and Jimmy Garoppolo never sees the field again, a la Drew Bledsoe? Does he lead the 49ers to like five more wins this season and everyone's just like, oh, Nick Mullins next year when he has a full training camp as the starter, he's going to be great? Or is he going to be the guy that sort of goes down and we remember this night as, man, remember when he came into the league and he was fantastic and now he's throwing four interceptions? This league will do that to you, right? Like, I know Twitter can be, a dumpster, a garbage dump of information where people just throw stuff out there to cause controversy and stuff. But I would caution people to slow down because this story of the unknown whatever it is rising to the top and becoming the national conversation can fall really quickly. You know what? Last night, I'll give you a perfect example. Last night, the Sacramento Kings routed the Atlanta Hawks last night. I mean, routed them. I mean, just annihilated the Atlanta Hawks. It was like 146 to 115. You know who the leading scorer of the Atlanta Hawks was last night? Leading scorer last night. I'll give you a guess. He was once a huge star in New York City. Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin was the leading scorer for the Hawks last night coming off the bench. We've seen this arc of athletes before. We've seen this play out before. If you were to lay a bet right now, if you had to, thank God you don't have to, but if you had to, and you had to put a sense of, here's the context of success, here's the context of failure, and there's going to be statistics and numbers that would be in both categories, where would you put Nick Mullins' career if you had a bet? The safest bet is on the failure part. The fun bet is on the success. This show, earlier this week, I think it was yesterday, I'm losing track. We're in a fantasy football league at our station. I think I'm playing. Am I playing you this week, Shay? Am I going up against you?
I'm not sure. I just know my team is terrible.
My team is awful. My team is worse than yours.
Wait, well, what's your record? 1-7?
1-7.
So is mine.
I got a sympathy trade. That's how bad my fantasy team is. I got a sympathy trade from the commissioner just to boost up my competitiveness.
Wait, Tubbs gave you a sympathy trade?
Yeah, he gave me a sympathy trade because I don't have any good running backs, and he gave me Adrian Peterson. He traded Adrian Peterson. I had to give him Keenan Allen, but I was more than happy to do that because I've got wide receivers. So here was our conversation with Ron this week, right? Where I said, I have Tom Brady starting at quarterback, okay? So yesterday, I think it was yesterday's show, actually. We were talking about this game, and we were talking about Nick Mullins becoming the starter. And I said, listen, I've got nothing to lose. I stink at this. I'm not playing for a playoff spot. I'm in last place. You know what I should do is I should pick up Nick Mullins off the waiver wire, and I should start him over Tom Brady just to see what happens. I kind of wish I did. Because even if Brady has a better statistical game coming up this weekend against the Packers, even if he's better statistically, the point still would have been awesome. That I took a chance on Nick Mullins, said I'm just doing this kind of as a goof because I have nothing to lose in a lost season of fantasy football. And you know what? I made out with a near perfect football performance. I mean, it was nearly perfect. He was clean. He didn't throw a pick. He didn't get sacked. He only had a couple of incompletions. He threw three touchdowns, 260 something yards. I mean, listen, I wish I did it. I really, really wish I did it. But, you know, I did it because I don't have any guts. 800-777-2907. It's Tony D. Ron Culver out. Shay is in as we continue along on a Friday on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
49ers game, I gotta be honest with you, it was just on, you know. I switched it over to UCF Temple for no other reason than it was close, and I saw that it was close, and I wanted to see if Temple could actually end this conversation about UCF and the undefeated record going back to last year. I was kind of in this mode of, hey, I wonder if this is the magical night all of these non-Power 5 conferences get every now and then, where like everyone is on their bandwagon, and everyone's like, Boise State or Hawaii, and then some magical night some school goes, nah, I'm shutting you down. Nevada kicks a field goal or something like that. And I thought this could be the night where Temple, because it was a close game going into the fourth quarter, and then I thought this could be the night that Temple kind of comes in and goes, nah, we're gonna end this party and we're gonna end this conversation right now. But you know what my biggest like get off my lawn complaint was about this game last night? this is when you know you're old. UCF, your colors are gold and black, black and gold, gold and black, however you want to, whatever the primary color is, it looks like it's more gold and black than black and gold. Steelers are black and gold. You're more gold and black. Last night, their uniforms were blue. Like, just stop with these alternate. Like, it's one thing if you want to create a new design. Stop with the new colors. What is this? You're not blue. When are you blue? You've been gold. You used to be called the Golden Knights. That's your name. It wasn't the Blue Knights. That you saved that for medieval times. That is not a team. You're not a blue-colored team. You're a gold or a black team, and you have blue. You have a new helmet that doesn't look anything like your logo. It doesn't look anything like your color scheme, and you're wearing it. And the NFL says, hey, New England Patriots, if you want to put the Minuteman on your helmet and do the throwback, we can't do that because the helmet's like, you know, the helmet. These colleges are like, what are you talking about? We change the helmets design all the time. Whatever Nike gives us or Adidas gives us to create a new uniform.
It's all about the money. That's it.
Yeah.
It's all about the money.
Happy to do it. So the UCF fan in Orlando is like, oh, crap. I got to buy the blue jerseys now. I guess I got to buy the dark blue jerseys now. Stop.
Oh, Ohio State's wearing black jerseys against Nebraska this week, so that's a big deal.
Stop.
The recruits forgive, like it, so I'm not a big fan, but
I can forgive black. Because everybody wants to kind of go with that. Like when Duke does the black jerseys, like it's almost like that color you can kind of add into your routine. UCF is not blue and has never been blue as far as I can remember, and they're wearing blue everything. Stop. Stop it. Blue numbers. What are you talking about? This is a get off my lawn thing, SB Nation Radio.